Good morning. Welcome to the Newfane Congregational Church, where we gather regularly to practice the art of seeing and loving ourselves, each other, and the world around us as God does. Today is Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to all the dads and granddads out there today. We celebrate you and all who have to father someone into being. It is also Trinity Sunday, prompting us to remember that God is not a distant figure of authority, but a living relationship, Creator, Christ, and Spirit, one love expressed in threefold intimacy. Jesus called God Abba, a term of endearment that captures the tenderness with which God beholds us and invites us to behold him. In Christ and through the Spirit, we too are invited into that kind of trust, that kind of belonging. So whoever you are and wherever you are on life's journey, whether your spirit is at ease today or knotted up in questions, whether this day lifts your heart or stirs some ache, whether the word Father brings to mind warmth, confusion, longing, or loss, whether you're filled to brimming with faith or you're barely hanging on, know this: you are welcome here. You are cherished here. You belong here. If you're new to our gathering, we hope you'll introduce yourself at some point so we can begin to know you better. At this time, we invite any announcements you'd like to share. Yes, Karen. Yes, Gretchen. Yes, Gabriella.
You might actually get to see me. But there's five liberating talking today in Rock at noon. So some of us are going to be going there right after service just to celebrate Pride and affirm your trans experience. So if you want to hop in your car and join us, please, you can talk to me or to you or just meet us there in Brattleboro at the First Meets lot, and there are posters and pins and stickers downstairs that y'all can grab if you want to have some few little things to show off at the march. So,
Becky?
Next Sunday's meeting up there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I will read it. Anyone else have an announcement before I read this?
Yes. Thank you, Gabriella, for mentioning the march. I was going to mention it just after service, and I apologize in advance. I will be making a beeline for the door right after service so that those of us who are going down to the march can make it there and be part of the rural LGBTQ+ liberation march. So we hope you'll join us if you are so inclined, if you're not already celebrating a dad or a daddy or a father in your life. The other thing is just another appeal for photos of you as in your childhood. I promise you it's going to be beautiful. I do want to stress that please, if you send me childhood photos, as adorable as they are, it would they need you need to be clothed in the photos.
Okay.
Just bear that in mind. I know the times have changed, but cute photos of you in clothes, that would be ideal. And you still have time, so don't feel like you've missed the window. More will be revealed soon. This is, what did you say? So to speak. Oh, goodness. Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to read the announcement. Members of the First Congregational Church of Newfane are hereby notified of the annual meeting of the church to be held on Sunday, June 22nd, 2025, immediately following the Sunday worship service. The purpose of the meeting is to receive all board and committee reports, choose officers for the 2025-2026 year, and to transact any other annual business to legally come before the congregation. And they did this the 11th day of June 2025. Do we have any more announcements? Join me in the call to worship. Come, beloved of God, into this moment of worship where the fullness of the Trinity welcomes us. God, our Creator, Christ, our Redeemer, Spirit, our Sustainer. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not hardship or heartache, not the unknown or the unseen. We are held always in divine embrace. On this Father's Day, we give thanks for all who have fathered us in love, in patience, in wisdom, and we remember the one who parents us with tenderness beyond measure. If God is for us, who can be against us? We are not overcome, for love bears us through. So come with your gratitude and your grief, your strength and your weariness, and let us worship the God whose love is indivisible, whose mercy is unending, whose presence is eternal. For we belong to God always and forever. Let us worship with joy and trust. You're invited to arise in body or in spirit as we sing hymn 321, At the Name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Would you join me now in the unison prayer of invocation? God of boundless love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you draw us close with a love that will not let us go. On this day, when we honor those who helped to guide us into the people we are becoming, we turn to you, the source of all compassion and strength. Open our hearts to your abiding presence. Shape us in the image of our beloved Christ, and stir in us the courage to love as we have been loved, a love from which we can never be separated. Amen. Amen. God's peace be with you. At this time, I invite you to rise and to share a sign of God's peace with your neighbor. Thank you. Before Christine comes to read the passage, would you join me in a brief prayer? Holy God, bless the reading of this sacred text. Bless our reception of it. Bless our speaking to it. May we say what needs saying. May we hear what needs hearing. Amen.
The scripture reading is from Romans 8, 31 through 39. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any change against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ who died, or rather, who was raised, who is also at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will affliction, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than victorious through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Thus ends the reading.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much for that reading, Christine. At this time, Dawn has prepared a brief word for the children and all of us, and most especially for Cliff.
Struggling, I've lost a friend. It was a stormy night. I had to work a shift up the Stratton Mountain, and I went out in the woods, climbed up to the top of this mountain called the Dam, which was a place that he had actually helped build. Number man. And I said to God, like so many of us have, why have you forsaken me? Where are you? And in that moment, I was given a gift that I have had with me my whole life of just knowing that no matter what, I will be here by my father and by God. And it truly led me on a path of knowing, and just knowing, no matter what, death, not the worst thing you can imagine, because at that time, that was the worst that I could have ever happened to anyone. And many things have happened since then, good and bad. But through it all, I was given the gift of knowing, like it said in the past, that you are all, death cannot take you away from the protection and the love. But much as I grieve, I also celebrate, because it was the first time that I really knew that and really understood that. And it can't leave me. It's a gift that I am given every day when I think about all the things that are happening in the world, all the grief, all the hardness. I just feel very grateful.
Oh, Dawn, thank you so much for that beautiful reflection. Oh boy, separation anxiety is so real, and it never ceases to be something that we move through, I think, as children, both in the biological sense, but also in the spiritual sense. As Dawn spoke so beautifully to this idea of, where are you, God? Where are you? It can be so utterly difficult to really embrace, to feel into this reality that actually we're not separated from that love. And I'm so heartened and just moved by your example of how it almost seems like a fluid, sort of seamless presence that you felt between your own earthly dad and your heavenly dad, as it were. Thank you, Dawn. And now I'm wondering what we, the community, see and hear and notice in today's passage. What stood out, if anything? Gabriella. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just a way that, like, even just something as simple as, like, I don't know, strength training or working out, I right, sort of figure it's like, I could never run that far in that. And then you get the help eventually.
Yeah.
A testament to what I mean.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Something that once seems or feels so formidable as to preclude our engagement with that possibility. With practice and with regular deepening into, in this context, an intimacy with God, we can get there. That's at least how I'm hearing your words. And I'm so grateful that you lifted up this this writing that Paul alludes to, or actually quotes, "For your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered." And it was actually Renee who helped us discover in Bible study on Thursday that this was actually a psalm of lament. It's Psalm 14:22. It's a national psalm of lament. And it speaks to what Dawn was articulating, this in context in psalm. The psalmist is saying, "Where are you, God? Why aren't you here? You're letting you're abandoning us to slaughter." And as if to illustrate your very point, Gabriella, our text here has Paul appropriating this psalm of lament to say, yeah, once upon a time in our history, in our tradition, in our experience as a people, this is how we expressed our separation anxiety from God. But now, we have moved to a depth of intimacy with the divine such that we can take this psalm and use it as a celebratory gesture of just how much God loves and holds and beholds us. Because God is not just some divine authority, some philosophical abstraction. God is our daddy. God is our daddy. Thank you. Thank you. What else did we notice? What else stood out to us? Carlene. Yeah. Well, I think it's indicative. Thank you. Carlene asks about this reference in verse 38. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation." So this is indicative of Paul's, and really a first century Palestine sort of Jewish Palestinian conception of how the cosmos is ordered. And there's a whole sophisticated angelology that a lot of us don't have access to because many of us have not read a very seminal text in that that would have been well known and well understood by Paul and those in his context, a book of First Enoch. And that's an account of how, you know, Lucifer falling from the sky, that's where that comes from. And this idea of the angels coming, the sons of God coming to earth, the angels falling to earth and actually procreating with the inhabitants of the earth. And then you get these, it's a wild sort of fantastical kind of account. But much of the angelology of the old world is, it takes its cue from this account. So we would actually benefit, I think, as a community from studying First Enoch, because so much would become clearer to us in the text, I think, if we had a robust understanding of that. But anyway, I digress. Carlene, your question is a good one. It just refers to not all angels are, in this context, let's say, good or benevolent or serving God's purpose. And so Paul is just sort of throwing a grab bag of any possible impediments that we might imagine or conceive of to accessing God. And this is his list. This is what he comes up with. Yeah. Tessa. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Yeah. 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 But what you're speaking to is so beautiful. And I think there is an idea here. I think there's evidence, some anyway, in Paul's writings that would suggest a kind of Christian non-dualism or Christian monism, as it's most often referred to. There's actually a forthcoming book. It's coming out this fall. It's actually about the Transfiguration, The Light of Mount Tabor by David Bentley Hart, who's one of my favorite theologians. And this book is about Christian monism. He's articulating kind of he's laying the groundwork for that in scripture and tradition. So something to look out for. I'm very excited. I pre-ordered it, and now I hope I get royalties too. Gabriella. Yeah. Wow. Right.
For me, like my reading, I don't think it means quote unquote good angels.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Absolutely. It's that dualism that is an impediment chiefly to accessing God and God's fullness. And since it is Pride Month, it is appropriate, I think, to point out that this is the gift of queer theology for everyone, not just queer folks, but because in a very real way, what the Christian tradition does is it queers a lot of binaries, the binary between works and grace, between death and life, between, it's like blurring those boundaries. That's what I mean when I say queering. I'm saying there's no strict binary. There's no definitive barrier between these things. It's only, these are sort of structural ways that we approach, interpretive structures that we overlay on top of life, on top of reality. That's how we apprehend it. but that's not the reality as such. So you two are beautifully echoing each other and complimenting each other in your observations. Did I cut you off, or was there more to say? Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Absolutely.
In one degree.
Yeah. Well, that's a sermon. That's a sermon. Linda. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 It's a wonderful promise. Thank you, Linda. I mean, that really is sort of the simple and profound takeaway from all of this, is that this is on offer whether we avail ourselves of it or not. But the key here is intimacy. And that's what Paul's, for me anyway, that's what Paul's text here is really capturing in a way that I think must be jarring to a lot of his readers. Just as jarring as it would have been for Christ, Jesus, to say to his followers, yeah, my Father and I are one, and you can be one with the Father. You have access to the Father. In Mark 14, he refers to God as Abba. Abba. I think that was practically unheard of in that context, to approach God in this way. But if you look at the parables that Jesus tells, if you really understand what he's gesturing toward, it is intimacy of the most profound kind. And Paul's really given expression to this here with this, nothing can separate us from this, nothing, try as you might. In the preceding chapter, he has just concluded this famous sort of passage about the thorn in the flesh and how he prays to God for God to move this thorn, and the voice that finally comes is, my grace is sufficient for you. And we talked about this in Bible study too, how grace is the hardest thing. It's so hard to accept. Arguably, the lifelong journey of being a Christian is the lifelong practice of perfection, of perfecting or getting exercise, training, to borrow Gabriella's metaphor, at getting good at accepting God's grace, because we're not good with it. We're not good at it. The world, the logic of the world around us, and certainly the logic of empire, trains us from the most formative age that we have to earn our keep, we have to earn our place, we cannot belong as we are. And Christ said a vociferous no to that. That was Christ's ministry. And so, friends, thank you so much for sharing. We are at time, and I've actually pretty much just delivered my message. So why don't we move now into the joys and concerns? Thank you so very much. Oh, Linda, yeah. Yeah. Oh. Oh, man. Linda, you're becoming part of us as our joy, too. Very much so. Thank you for the gift you have given us by just being here and blessing our community with your presence. We so adore you. Bucky. We sure did. Absolutely. We continue to hold Ken and Ellie in our fervent prayers this morning, and all continued prayers for Marianne and all who are experiencing or navigating health challenges, whether they be terminal illnesses or not. Thank you, Bucky. And of course, yes, we celebrate our very own Jason and Haley for tying the knot yesterday. That was beautiful. Jennifer, and my joy is Jennifer and Bob playing together, really. Something that needs to happen like all the time. What a joy. Christine. Yeah. Continuing to hold Danny and Sheila in our prayers, and continuing to hold our caregivers in our love and prayers as well. Debbie.
This is our last Sunday. Bell Choir is done.
Yeah.
Sunday. A joy and just thanks to Jennifer for picking out wonderful, meaningful music for flow sometimes, putting things off, and just getting the best of us in her joyful and fun way. She could all come on Thursday night. She's a riot.
Amen. Jennifer, thank you for all that you've done and continue to do to enrich our worship space. And yeah, are you, sorry, that's not a question I should ask you in front of people. I was going to ask if you're leaving for vacation today.
Yeah, a little
mini vacation, joy. Okay, sorry, that was such a digression. I apologize. ADHD, I blame ADHD. And yeah, Gabriella. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Including through discussion of poverty, I think it's valuable to restore poverty in the lives of the city. I also see that as a granddaughter of refugee who fled the fascists, I see that as someone who was raised in part by for helping contribute the absolute lack of the integration process in the U.S. And I'm really, really proud about the riots in L.A. and the spread like fire of the country because people's lives are worse.
Yeah.
The same thing, the people immigrant or not, refugee or not, they're lost.
Thank you. Thank you, Gabriella. And yes, I want to echo and affirm wholeheartedly that affirming the dignity of human or any life, from my perspective, is affirming the image of the divine here on earth. And there is an unfortunate tendency to conflate sometimes destruction of property with violence, as if it were violence against human bodies. And sometimes nonviolence, there's a whole discourse about nonviolence versus violence, and I won't bore you or provoke you with any musings about that. But I just want to lift up, it's complicated. And I know, obviously, I'm personally very committed, deeply committed to nonviolence. And I say that, though, as someone who can say that easily, because as a queer person, I'm mindful of the fact that Stonewall began as a riot. The first Pride was a riot involving destruction of property, involving tension with, to put it politely, with the police and with law enforcement. But that was a necessity. That was a table-flipping moment, you might say, in a liberatory history in which so many people from that point on were able to claim and to live lives they could not otherwise have lived because of those moments of bravery and courage. So it is complex, and I understand that there is a lot of discomfort around these issues and these questions. So this is a space where we can do that kind of thing, where we can actually talk and have complex conversations. Anyway, that's all. That's a long-winded way of saying amen, thank you, and holding in our prayers those who are saying no to the indignity that is being visited upon immigrants and other marginalized communities, and prayers for peace and for the inbreaking of spirit within institutions, or breaking open institutions that will it allow folks to better appreciate the humanity that is being fought for and grappled for. Thank you. Carlene. Prayers for our country. Yeah. I don't see that as a negation, Carlene. I really don't. Sure. No, I appreciate that. But yeah. Prayers for our country, indeed. Yes, Will and Michelle. Thank you. Chris. Yeah. Amazing. Celebrating dads who were present and showed up and attentive. And yeah, thank you, Chris, for that beautiful reminder. Tessa. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. What a beautiful way to relate that. Tessa reminds us or relates about her husband's awakening to spirituality from this, just being a father, how that has opened his eyes and his sensibilities, has sensitized him to that relational dynamic. That's beautiful. Thank you, Tessa. Bill.
Says all those in harm's way. Correction yesterday that Dan Marks had been taken to the emergency room.
Oh, goodness.
We must deal with his heart. I don't know much about anything else right now.
Do we know which ER? Rutland? Oh, Brattleboro, I see. Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah, thank you, Phil. Holding those in our prayer who go into harm's way, and holding Dan and, of course, Ruth in our prayers this morning. Verna. Prayers for children. Yeah, you're right. Prayers for children who are in war zones, whose childhoods are being robbed of them. Yeah. Thank you, Verna. Would you join me in a spirit of prayer? Loving God, with thanksgiving in our hearts for so much, all of which you have heard here this morning, for fathers and dads, granddads, daddies, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the protective strength, for the intimacy with which they approach us and have helped to father us, whether they are our biological fathers or not, into our being. Thank you for them, and bless them today as they awaken to a greater intimacy with you and with Spirit. We give you thanks for the joining together of Jason and Haley yesterday for Pride Month, and those who are celebrating who they are in a world that is increasingly by turns hostile to who they are. We give you thanks for the courage that animates them and their bodies, and just pray you pour out your witness, your gaze, your healing mercy and grace upon them. May they feel unmistakably your acute presence. We give you thanks, God, for Linda joining us, for being part of our community, for saying yes to our offering of love and fellowship. Even God, as we pray for all of these things, we give you thanks for all of these joys. We come with heavy hearts for those in our community who lean now on their community in their time of need, who lean upon you. For Ken and Ellie, for Marion, for Dan and Ruth, for Danny and Sheila, for the poor and the mentally ill and the homeless, for children enduring war zones and not getting to be who they are meant to be. We give you thanks, and we pray your blessing upon caregivers, upon all who go into harm's way, upon first and second and third responders. For these and so much more, God, we send up our prayers. You know the unspoken prayers and those that were named. Pour out your Spirit upon us now in this season of Pentecost. Help us to feel you. Help us to be guided by you. Help us to be sensitized to the dignity of our fellow humans and our fellow creatures, and this beautiful creation that we are so blessed to call home, even if we so often forget or take for granted what we have. Open the eyes of our hearts to our place in your cosmos, that we may be right-sized and in right relationship with all with whom we share this planet. We pray these things in the words our Redeemer taught us to pray when he walked among us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Among the many reasons we have to celebrate and to be thankful is for a new opportunity to give back to our community, to take that welling up of love and peace and joy that we wish to share with the community and do so in the form of whatever gifts we may give. We give to a number of mission partners, as you know, the Townsend Volunteer Fire Department, the New Brook Fire and Rescue are our mission partners for June. We give to so much and we help so much in our community. So this invitation is to all who have and give whatever you have in your heart to give. And if you can't, that's okay too. Just pray that all be made well.
Praise God, all creatures, sing with me. Praise God, for all that love has done.
Would you join me in a spirit of prayer? Blessed God, with these gifts, we declare our reception of your grace and your boundless love from which we can never be separated. We receive that so gladly, and with these gifts, we dedicate ourselves, our beings, our lives, our whole church body to the edification of our community, both here and far. Bless these gifts to that end, we pray, in your holy name. Amen. Thank you. I invite you now to remain standing as we sing hymn number 446, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go. Amen. You may be seated. I want to thank so very many people, starting with the dads among us, those who have fathered and been attentive and present and helped to love someone into being in that way. Thank you. I want to thank Christine for serving as the liturgist for Chrisman, for your deaconing. To Jan, Sandy, Renee, and Karen, who have done, worn several different hats. I'm a little confused at all they've done this morning. So it's in the bulletin. You can see it. Thank you to the choir for a most excellent season and for all that you have contributed to our worship services. I'm going to miss you. Thankfully, Jennifer's still around. So we have her gift still to look forward to. Thank you, Jennifer, for always, as Debbie so beautifully put it, curating and making these selections so thoughtfully and beautifully. And thank you to all of you for showing up as you always do, not just here, but in the world, making plain Christ's love for everyone, no matter who they are or where they are on life's journey. Once again, I hope to see some of you join us for the march in Brattleboro at 12. There'll be a convoy of us leaving, so see us after if you're interested. There are flyers and buttons and such downstairs. All right, with that, I invite you to raise your arm to receive the benediction. Go now in the strength of the one who formed you, the grace of the one who walks beside you, and the peace of the Spirit who dwells within you. No trial can separate you. No fear can unmake you. No power can erase your place in the heart of God our Father. You are held. You are cherished. You are never alone. Go in love. Go in peace. Your trust is making you well. Amen.
Just explain something.